My name is Anna Reinhardt, and our scripture reading this morning comes from Deuteronomy 30, verses 11 through 20. This command I am giving you today is not too difficult for you, and it's not beyond your reach. It's not kept in heaven, so distant that you must ask, who will go up to heaven and bring it down so that we can hear it and obey? And it's not kept beyond the sea, so far away that you must ask, who will cross the sea to bring it to us so that we can hear it and obey? No, this message is very close at hand. It's in your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord will bless you and the land that you're about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you're drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, by obeying him and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
There are some things we say, and we don't know why we say them. There's some things we say, and we've been saying for a while, and we think we know the meaning. We think somebody said them, and it meant something to us, and we just repeat them. Things like, if you can't stand the heat, stay out of the kitchen. A bird in the hand is worth... And lots of other funky things that we say that we think we understand. Another favorite one of mine by a classic rock group was, he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. I was born with a plastic spoon in my mouth, by the way. My name is Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we're continuing on in our series, Things We Say. God can't give you more than you can handle. God will continue to bless you. We talked about that last week. Pastor Kathy started our series off with a series about how a half-truth, God won't give you more than you can handle. The Lord helps those who help themselves, what we talked about last week. And then this week, everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. How many people here have said that? How many people have had it said to them? Yeah. Everything happens for a reason. Sometimes we say these things, love the sinner, hate the sin, and we think that they're in our Bibles. We think that they are quoted somewhere or definitely attributed somewhere that Jesus might have said them. God won't give you more than you can handle. And we think they're in our Bible. And we think about, of course, that's true. And sometimes it's just been passed down from generations. So let's have a look today at whether this saying, things we say, is in our Bible. Let's have a look. First off, we'll go to the beginning. We're going to put this on the screen for you as well. But everything happens for a reason. Let's have a look in Proverbs, the wisdom of Solomon. He's going to give us something that might help us understand whether this is something that's actually in our Bibles. Here's the first one. Chapter 16, verse 4. The Lord has made everything for his own purposes, even the wicked for the day of disaster. Sounds like this is true. It sounds like that this fits here, that God knows what's going on. There's a purpose for this. There's a purpose, and even he has created the wicked, it says in Proverbs. And this is wisdom from Solomon that he sends to his son. And we've got these 31 chapters here to help us in our lives. And so we can see from that particular scripture that maybe it fits there. Maybe everything happens for a reason. Let's look at another scripture. We're only going to do a couple of scriptures, as it obviously needs a deeper dive to understand all the scriptures. Well, we're going to go to Ecclesiastes. You guys might know this. You might know the song that goes with it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Another poem, some more wisdom for us to get through our lives. What does it say in verse 1 of chapter 3? For everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plan, and a time to harvest, a time to kill, a time to heal, and it goes on. So it seems that God has set everything in place. God has set all of this in place, and we are just there in and amongst the seasons. It's just going to happen anyway. What does Jesus say about this? And we're just going to go to one text. We're not going to do all four Gospels today, but we're going to go to one text. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 through 30. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to them about what's going on. He's saying how to live their lives. He's going to send them out. And how does he send them out? He says these words. He says to them, what is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So God knows everything. Jesus knows everything. He knows how much the sparrows are worth. He knows how much that they only cost one copper coin because that's what they were giving in the temple. He knows every hair on your head, Larry. Yeah. So it would seem that everything happens for a reason. That's what the book says. The 66 chapters that we have, that we look to for our direction, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New, this is it. Everything happens for a reason. Normally, people say this when they don't know what to say. Normally, people say this when a massive tragedy has happened, when a hurricane has happened and taken out a whole row of homes and a lot of people died. And the one person left, the person left holding the clothes of the children, somebody walks up and they don't know what to say. They think they should say something, so they say something anyway and they say, hey, everything happens for a reason. Or maybe somebody, you, is in your family, and they've had cancer, and they've been struggling for 10 years, and you think the doctor said they're going to have 5 more years left, and all of a sudden, it's over. You thought you were going to have more time with them, and all of a sudden, it's over. Their life is over, and you're sitting there in tears in the hospital, and a dear friend, even who goes to church, has been sitting next to you in the pew all your life, comes up to you and says, everything happens for a reason. A school shooting happens. 19 people die. 19 children die. 19 different families are affected. Nobody knows what to say. The Christians turn up to counsel the people. Maybe they don't know what to say. Maybe they're awkward in their silence. They're awkward with the... And they just say, everything happens for a reason. When we say this, we think and say that, well, God controls everything in the world. I heard somebody say, amen. God controls everything. God is sovereign. God is over everything. And therefore, he must have put these things in motion in order to fulfill his purpose. He must want a load of people to die on that one avenue that the tornado went by. He must want a bunch of people to be hurting, or that one person in your life to die from cancer. Or they must want young children to die. God sets this up, and off it goes. Great theologian John Calvin would say that this is the kind of doctrine, the kind of theology that God is sovereign and he controls everything. That no matter what we do, no matter what we say, God knows it and God has pre-ordered it anyway. And therefore, there's nothing we can do in choice and in participation with what God has created. It's just there. It's all set up. God set it up. John Calvin said that God set it up. It's all pre-ordered. You're all predestined. Some of you are set up for wickedness. Some of you are set up for to go to heaven, to be participating in God's kingdom on earth. And you can do nothing about it. You're going to sit on the couch with a remote and do nothing. That's John Calvin's theology. That's what John Calvin said, that we are predestined. And all of us have nothing involved. God set it all up. We don't have a choice in the matter. I wasn't always a pastor. I was in the Royal Navy for 14 years. And one of my jobs was to be involved in the arms embargo. The Adriatic Sea was the place where we were patrolling up and down. It was just during the Kosovo War, and our job was to make sure that illegal arms weren't going to Kosovo. It was kind of the end of the conflict, and they sent the Navy over there as part of the NATO force to board the ships, mostly tankers and merchant vessels, that were presumed, we had intel on, that said they had arms that were taken to Kosovo. So our job was to come up alongside the ship and send a group of sailors, highly trained sailors, don't exist, highly trained sailors to go over and on in a helicopter and jump out of the helicopter and land on the ship. And we went off for some training, and they told us how to do it. They told us to follow some commands. They told us to follow these commands, and you'd be safe if you did as we told you. So we practiced jumping off of space, and we jumped off of space, and we got higher and higher and higher, and then eventually we were confident, grabbing hold of the rope and going down the rope and landing. There was a couple of commands that took two big things that were really important. This meant go, jump out, and the other one was hold fast. Hold fast meant that if you were going down the rope and for some reason that you had to fly away and you couldn't land on the deck, you grabbed hold of the rope for dear life. You wrapped the rope around your leg and stood on the rope. And that meant you hold fast. That would slow you down enough and you'd hang on to the rope. There were the two things. So we went back to the ship and we were boarding these ships. So the helicopter would take off with all the sailors on. You'd sit on the edge. You get a hit on the shoulder, and off you go, and you slide down the rope. A lot of fun. We board the ship and make sure there was no weapons on the ship. It was towards the end, you know, and they were kind of just not glad to see us. One day, I was driving the ship, and I wasn't boarding this day. There was like a port and starboard watch kind of thing, and port watch was on, and my friend Darby was in the port watch, and he was the first one out of the helicopter. So I'm sitting driving the ship here, and I can see the ship right here and the helicopter go over the ship. And it was a standard day in a standard Navy ship in the Adriatic Sea way back in 1996. And sure enough, Darby goes out first. I see him jump out of the aircraft, grabs hold of the rope, starts descending. See his rifle on his back, starts descending. All of a sudden, we hear this, abort, abort. And the helicopter starts to pull away. What does my friend Darby do? Does Darby have a choice? Does Darby have any kind of skin in this game? Is he just predestined to fall on a deck in a big snotty heap? Is he to fall into the middle of the Adriatic Ocean? Are the helicopter wings meant to go into the aerials of the ship? It doesn't matter what we do. It's all predestined anyway. What does Darby do? Does he have a choice? In the scripture we read today, Moses says to Israel, you have a choice. Moses is at Mount Ebal in Gerizim. One of the most crucial geographic places in all of the scripture is this place, Mount Ebal, Gerizim, and Jacob's well, where Jesus met the woman at the well, right there. And on these two mountains, 12 tribes, six on one side, six on the other, stand waiting to hear the commands of God. And the Levites are in the middle. And the Levites recite the blessings and the curses. And it's in chapter 27 of Deuteronomy. And they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And all the people say, amen. And then they'd say, oh, cursed is he who makes children do things that they shouldn't do. And they'd say, amen. And there was this back and forth of curses and blessings, curses and blessings. And then Moses says, hey, now the Ten Commandments I gave you that God gave to me, I want you to write them down on tablets, and they're going to be up on Mount Ebal. So he writes these commands down. And so this is where we are in our text today that Anna read to you. We're on Mount Ebal, and it's his last hurrah. The great leader of Moses is giving them the last things to do before he parts. He's 120 years old, and he's ready to leave the earth. They're all gathered in front of him on the mountain. And he says these things to him. This command, the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, specifically the fourth one, have no other gods before me. This command, he says, I'm giving you today. It's not too difficult for you. And it is not beyond your reach. It's not kept in heaven. It's not so distant that you must ask, who go up to heaven and bring it down to me so we can hear it and obey? It's not kept beyond the sea, so far away that you must ask, who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey? No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart, so that you can obey it. Moses is standing before the people, addressing them, and the first thing he says is, I command this to you. It's not difficult. It's not a million miles away. You don't have to go on a great quest. You don't have to be silent for 10 days to hear it. You don't have to go across the Adriatic or the Pacific or the Atlantic in order to find it. It's right here. We wrote it on the tablets. It's right here. In fact, he says, it's on now. It's on your lips. And when we say it, when we say these things, oh, it feels so good. You can feel it rolling off your tongue. This makes sense. This command from God makes so much more sense. Have no other gods before me. Well, of course, life would be so good if we did that. Amen. Have no other gods before me. He says, this is close at hand. In fact, not only is it written on the tablet, in your book, in your tablet that you've got right now, on your phone, whatever it is you're reading it. Not only is it there, it's good when it's on your lips, and it's good when it's in your heart. He says, when you feel this, you'll know it. It's good for you. I want you to remember this, he says. I want you to know that this is the place where it's best in your heart. You don't have to go across the sea to see it. You don't have to. It's right close to you. Then he says, now listen. Today, I'm giving you a what? Choice. Verse 16. Now listen. I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, keep his decrees and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter to occupy. Now listen, pay attention. Check this out, he says. Check this out. I've been talking to you for 40 stinking years, but listen, I'm going. I am going, and I want you to know this thing. Couple of verses. Today, I am giving you a... I'm giving you a choice between life and death, prosperity and wickedness. Those two words that they use there is tov and ra. The Hebrew tov is the same word that was used in the Genesis account when God created the world. God created light. God created the things and the plants. And when he created them, he said they were good. And that word there is tov. That word there is tov. He says, choose between what is good, what is godly, what God likes, what is pleasing in his sight. He says, choose between that tov and ra. Ra, whatever is evil, whatever is wicked, whatever does not align with what God would want for your life. You got a choice. Who is Moses talking to? Israel. Who is Moses talking to? He's talking to Israel. If anybody could claim predestination, if any tribe, any nation, any group of people could claim that they had to do nothing to walk in God's ways, to walk in his will, it would be Israel, descended from Abraham, descended from Jacob, descended from Isaac. Hey, what other qualifications do you need to be in sight of Yahweh, to be in sight of God, to know his ways? But Moses says, no, pay attention. You got a choice between life and death. There is another theory as opposed to John Calvin. John Calvin's like over this side, and then the deists over this side. And deism says that God sets up the world. God created the world. He created the universe. He created the things that he wanted to create, and then he just left it. And he just left it and let us do whatever we wanted to. Edward Herbert is our favorite deist in the 18th century, so just not long ago. He says that God set up the world and we just do whatever we want. God's not participating in our life. God has nothing invested in us. We have nothing invested in God. We're just doing whatever we want in the world. He says to those who adopted into Israel, which is us Gentiles, Joseph says to them, you've got a choice. You've got a choice between death and life. You've got a choice between tov and ra. And he says, I command you. That word there is mitzvah. It's a rule. I'm leaving this rule with you. This is the last thing I want you to say. It's a mitzvah. I command you. Keep these commandments. Keep these commandments. Keep. Hold on to it. Hold fast onto these commands. Hold fast onto this command to choose what? Life. Choose life. Walk in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land. In fact, when God is dwelling in your life for us in the 20th century, when God is dwelling in our life, we become kingdom of God bringers. We become bringing the land of God, the ideas of God into the situation. We did this week. Vacation Bible School. We did this because we obeyed the command that that Moses said a long time ago, tell these things to your children. Tell them to your children's children. And we did that for 5 mornings this week. And they came and they heard that Jesus was their lifesaver. And we had all the children here on the steps deciding to follow Jesus. I said, who wants to follow Jesus? And they all raised their hand. They all come down the front. And it's because of having a continuous focus on the future we do those things, amen? It's because of your open-hearted generosity we're able to continue to tell it to our children's children. That goes into the ministry so that we can teach them about Jesus. And we need that so much today, amen? God's going to bless you when you do these things. And those of you who are involved this week, those of you who took part in that, we feel blessed. We feel blessed to be a blessing. Moses goes on to say, but if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing. You are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Now, this is Israel. You can choose to disobey. You can choose not to follow God's commands. He says you can choose to refuse to serve God and worship other gods. Have other things distract your time. Have other things to occupy your thoughts. Spend half an hour scrolling instead. Guilty. If you are drawn away to serve, you're probably not going to have a good life. You're going to be occupied by other things in your life. Occupied by other things that draw you away from Christ, that draw you away from God. And so, his last words. He says, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself to him, firmly. This is the key. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's a choice, Moses says. There's a choice that you must follow. And this choice is absolutely epicenter to our life. It's absolutely key to our life. No matter what choices you all make today, whether you turn left or right on Belcher, whether you think you're predestined to get that one parking spot next to that nice restaurant that you go to, whether you think God's gonna give you ramen noodles for the rest of your life, God wants you to have a life. We have to choose to have life. We have to choose to follow God's commands. And the 10 commandments are just like basic commands that are the way we treat each other nicely. The first 4 are about God, and the second half, the 6 after that are about how we have relationships with one another. He says, choose to follow these commands. Hold fast. Love and obey the commands of God. And you'll live long in the land of God. You become a person who brings in the kingdom of God wherever you go. And you will enter into the land flowing with milk and honey. For us, that's the kingdom of God here on earth. We enter into the place that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob told us about long ago. We're not predestined to go there. God just doesn't leave us. He participates in and amongst our lives. He participates in children's life that are here. He participates in our life, and he wants a part. He's like, please, oh, that you would choose to follow me, choose to follow my love, choose to follow my commands. These commands are good for you, amen? Do you want to know the choice that Darby made? So he's going down the rope. He's going down the rope. You know, it's like, I forgot how long it was, like 20 foot long. You know, he's going down the rope, going down the rope. And then he hears a command. He hears the command that he's been trained to listen to. He heard the command that he's been told about. He heard the command that he needed to listen to in order to preserve his life. The flight observer, the guy that helps the pilot, he shouts down, hold fast. What does Darby do? He believes in predestination. God just does whatever he wants. He makes a choice. He makes a choice. Hold fast. Oh, I remember that command. I remember it in training. I remember that my parents told me. I remember that it's probably a good idea to remember those in authority. I remember it's probably good to listen to those who know what they're doing. Hold fast. Oh, I remember that, yeah. Grabbed on as tight as he could to the rope. Wrapped his leg around the rope. Stood on top of the rope. And the helicopter didn't get caught up in the aerials and the whips and the radars of the ship. The helicopter pulled away from the, and Darby's hanging on, ah, dear life. Ship, the aircraft comes back around to the back of the ship and drops Darby gently on the ship, pulls away, brings the rope in, lands on deck. Is everything okay? Everything okay? Did you pay the commands? Yeah? Okay, now we'll have a good laugh. Ah, we've seen you going by on the rope. It was hilarious. Ah. Darby lives today because he obeyed the commands. Darby is living today because he listened and obeyed the commands. I want you to obey the commands of God. Choose between life and death. Choose between Tov and Ra. You see, everything happens for a reason. Better things happen when we choose to follow God's commands. And I'm going to give you an opportunity today to choose life. Maybe there's been something going on in your head for a long time, and your neurons have been misaligned, and you've been telling yourself this about yourself. And you need to choose life. Maybe there's some emotions in your life you don't understand that you need to choose to follow what God would say about you. Maybe in your relationships, people that you are around all the time, something needs to change. And you need to look for life in that relationship. Maybe deep down spiritually, the key to your life is that you choose between good and evil. You choose between Tov and Ra. And today, I'm going to give you a response, an opportunity to respond to Moses' command. The kneelers are open. You're welcome to come down and spend some time praying. It's for you, between you and Yahweh. I want you to think that you're on Mount Ebal, and God is speaking to you personally. And he's asking you to choose life. You can kneel down at the front. You can spend some time in your own pew, your own personal altar, and give these things to God. Choose life. Amen. Spend some time in prayer yourselves now. You're welcome to come down the front and kneel as we end our service with singing.